The first time I saw the UP photographs of Joe Cubba, I thought of the book The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. In a close-up, Cubba looks like the author James Breslin. He looks like he should be tending bar someplace. He has an impish grin. I bought a print of one of the UP photographs for $7.50. I'm just letting it stare up at me now. It's a weird feeling, especially the glossy gag man smile. Cubba got off the Eastern flight shortly after 9. A big man in a rodeo shirt met him at the gate and hand-delivered a manila envelope. Inside the envelope were sketches of Berryman that had come up from New Orleans. Cubba examined the artwork as he rented a sports car from Avis, and because he was a cocky, foolhardy man, the antithesis of Berryman, Cubba signed for the car with his own name. It's incongruous, but under good circumstances, Joe Cubba would crack up most people. He has a lot of comical stories about mafia people, and he tells them in 8 or 9 different accents and voices. He does The Godfather very well, but he says everybody does The Godfather. He does Carlo Gambino, and he says nobody does Gambino. Lieutenant Mart Wiesner met Cubba under bad circumstances. At about midnight, they had coffee and eggs together in a Nashville burger boy. Cubba had followed the burly young trooper inside. Wiesner was in town to work the 4th of July parade and rallies the following morning. He told Cubba he was having trouble sleeping at the holiday. Joe Cubba figured the trooper was actually out scouting up city women, trying to score off some sympathetic waitress.
"I saw that Holiday Inn sign myself," Cubba said. "Welcome BPOE," it said. Might just as well have said goodbye Joe Cubba. No way I was going to stay there after seeing that. Those silly bastards be practicing trumpets when a maid show up. Wiesner laughed out loud. "What are they up to now?" Cubba asked. "Breaking cocktail glasses in the swimming pool?"
One of the burger boy waitresses remembered Cubba afterward. She remembered seeing the hefty state trooper leading him outside to show him the way to Ireland's bar. Then she'd seen them both drive off together in the trooper's patrol car. Ireland's is an ersatz country roadhouse, a fancy britches watering hole for rich hillbilly singers. There's a fat piano player named Dave the Rave there who's a better musician than half the millionaires in the place. Wiesner and Joe Cubba, both up around 230 pounds themselves, watched Fat Dave like he was a limited engagement concert. Sitting together at the bar, they looked like tag team wrestlers. Their conversation wove around 2 subjects, women and the Army.
"I'm in the Army, 1953, stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina," Joe Cubba was saying.
"What'd you make?"
Wiesner said. "Didn't make nothing. I was a boxer. No rank, just boxer. I boxed a guy named Pepper something, who later got his ass kicked by Marciano. I used to box all the top MPs in bars, too."
"I boxed oranges in the Navy,"
Wiesner grinned.
"Yeah, anyways, that fat piano man does okay for himself with the local ladies," was what I was getting to. "I was wondering if your uniform works pretty good for you. Southern girls used to like a uniform, I remember. I used to wear it back to Philadelphia, the girls spit on me."
Wiesner laughed. They ordered and drank another round, then Wiesner slammed down a full glass of Budweiser on the bar.
"I'm getting loaded," he shook his head. "I've got to goddamn work tomorrow, do you know that?"
"Yeah," Cubba wiped his mouth. "You gotta march around with the mayor." Cubba took up a fistful of beer nuts.
"Listen," he said, "you ever eat squid? Hey, you ever heard of scongili? I'm in a mood for some squid," he laughed. "I know you're in the mood to go back to your hotel and knock off."
"I've got to," Martin Wiesner said. He stood up at the bar and called for a check. Joe Cubba took more nuts in his hand. He shook them around like dice.
They'd parked Wiesner's police car on the side of a grocery called Scamp's 400. As they got into the blue Plymouth, Wiesner bloated, burped.
"Jesus Christ," he said. "Excuse me."
Cubba slammed the door on his side.
"Listen," he said when both doors were closed, "I'm going to have to ask you to take off your uniform." Wiesner started to laugh. Then he saw a 3-to-4-inch knife in Cubba's left hand.
"Hey, Joe," he said, sober and serious in about 10 seconds. "You're a real funny guy and all,
Cubba slid the sharp blade into the folds of Wiesner's stomach. I don't want you to talk anymore. See, I'm nervous now. I could make a bad mistake. You don't talk unless I ask you a question. Now take your shirt off and throw it over in the back. The state trooper had trouble with the buttons on his tight khaki shirt. Finally, he pulled it off, though. He had a surprisingly small chest with almost no hair on it. Now the pants, Cubba said. He didn't sound like he was trying to be funny, so Wiesner took off his trousers. He handed them across the seat. Then he sat behind the steering wheel in his underpants, socks, and shoes. He was trying to think of a plan, but nothing would come. Joe Cubba turned on the car radio. Now I'm trying not to hurt you. He held the knife to Martin Wiesner's throat. Believe me, I'm not, he said, as he slid the knife in, straight down, then quickly out again.